Welcome to all who are joining us. Please settle into the warmth of our community on this, I think it's fair to say, the coldest day so far this new year. My name is Gavin Byrne, and I'm a member of this congregation. Our opening words: mystery of life and source of love and beauty, we find ourselves still in the depths of winter, but eager for the coming spring and warmth of the summer sun. We come to this place from unique places and situations. We come with doubts and disbelief as often as we come with certainty or expectation. In whatever spirit you arrive at this moment of sharing together, and with the greater mystery that surrounds us all, let us be together, feeling our neighbor's love and compassion, extending the same to others, and receiving the holy gift of acceptance. We now light our chalice, symbol of our free Unitarian faith. And we remember today with joy and love David Heap, who died this week. He loved this community, his spiritual home in this city. But let us also consider the people of Venezuela and Switzerland, who today are in the midst of a not insignificant crisis in their land. In the solitude of this moment, where the noise of our complicated lives meets the quiet comfort of the non-judgmental holy, we breathe of the one breath that sustains us all for the journeys set before us this year. In the gentleness of this moment, we seek to calm the thoughts that labor over the past, obsess over the future, and worry about the present. In the promise of this moment, may we breathe in peace and exhale stress, finding a renewed sense of well-being and purpose for the work of our hands and our hearts. In the midst of uncertainty, may our chalice be a beacon of encouragement, that our values may guide all of our choices. So now let us warm this space a little bit more and sing hymn number 58, Ring Out Wild Bells. Our first reading this morning will now be read by Gavin.
Good morning. Good to see so many familiar faces. And for those who are new, it's not only Gavin's allowed to be up here. I've had a very busy couple of years, and a friend of mine realized that perhaps I was too busy. And he suggested to me as a Christmas present that I maybe try the Daily Stoic, a quotation from the Stoics that I wasn't really familiar with. And I got this about a month ago, but I've found it very helpful, and I found a reading today that perhaps might be resonant. It's a bit personal for me because a friend of mine passed away 2 years ago, very unexpectedly, from cancer, and the title of the letter is On the Shortness of Life by Seneca. Beg pardon. Most of mankind, Plinius, complains about nature's meanness, because our allotted span of life is so short, and because this stretch of time that is given to us runs its course so rapidly, so much so, with very few exceptions, life leaves the rest of us in the lurch just when we're getting ready to live. And it's not just the masses and the unthinking crowd that complain at what they perceive at this universal evil. The same feeling draws complaints even from men of distinction. Hence the famous dictum, life is short, art is long. Hence also Aristotle's grievance, most unbecoming a philosopher, when he called nature to account for bestowing so much time on animals that they can live for 5 or 10 human lifespans, while so much shorter a limit is set for humans, even though they are born to do so many great things. It's not that we have a short time to live, but that we waste much of it. Life is long enough, and it's been given to us in generous measure for accomplishing the greatest things, if the whole of it is well invested. But when life is squandered through soft and careless living, and when it's spent on no worthwhile pursuit, death finally presses, and we realize that life, which we didn't notice passing, has passed away. And so it is. The life we are given isn't short, but we make it so. We are not ill-provided, but we are wasteful of life. Just as impressive the princely wealth is squandered in an instant when it passes in the hands of a poor manager, but wealth, however modest, grows through careful deployment if it's entrusted to a responsible guardian. So our lifetime offers ample scope to the person who maps it out well. Why do we complain about nature? It has acted generously. Life, if you know how to use it, is long. But one person's held in the grip of a voracious avarice, and another by the kind of diligence that busies itself with pointless enterprises. This one's sodden with wine, another slack with idleness. This one's tired out by his political ambition, which always hangs on the judgment of others, while another's passionate desire for trading drives him headlong over every land and every sea in hope of profit. Many are kept busy with striving after other people's wealth or complaining about their own. Many who have no conscience, consistent goal in life are thrown from one new design to another by a fickleness that is shifting, never settled, and always dissatisfied with itself. Some have no goal at all other than to steer the course, but death takes them by surprise as they gape and yawn. I therefore cannot doubt the truth of that seemly oracular utterance. Scant is the part of life which we live. All the rest of existence is not living, but merely time. Thank you.
Thank you, Gavin. So our story this morning, for those young at heart, is called Twinkle's Tiny Spark. And I think I told this story previous New Year's, but I think it's worth another go. So once upon a time, high above the sleepy world lived a tiny star named Twinkle. Twinkle wasn't as big or bright as the other stars. He was just a little spark in the vast dark sky. And as the old year faded, all the stars twinkled with excitement for the new year. "I wish I could make a wish come true," sighed Twinkle to his friend, Luna the Moon. "But I'm so small, no one even notices my light." Luna smiled gently. "Oh, twinkle, twinkle, little star, every light matters no matter who you are. The new year is about new beginnings, and even the smallest light can guide someone's way." On New Year's Eve, as midnight approached, the world below grew quiet, then buzzed with anticipation. People looked up, hoping for a sign of good luck. The big, bright stars shone their grandest, but Twinkle felt a little sad, hiding behind a cloud. Suddenly, a little girl named Lily looked up from her window. "Mommy, I can't see the stars. It's too cloudy." Luna's wish was a quiet one, a wish for a little bit of magic to make her feel hopeful for the year ahead. But Twinkle heard her wish. He remembered Luna's words, and taking a deep breath, he puffed out his tiny chest and shone with all his might, just a little peekaboo of light through the clouds. Lily gasped, "Look, Mommy, a tiny star, and it's winking at me." And at that moment, Twinkle felt a warm, happy glow. His little light had made someone smile, had brought a spark of magic to New Year's Eve. And at midnight, as fireworks boomed and bells rang, Twinkle realized something quite wonderful. He didn't need to be the biggest, brightest star to bring joy. His small, brave light had reached across the sky and touched a heart. And from that night on, Twinkle shone proudly, knowing that every little bit of kindness, every small spark helps light up the world for a brand new year. And every time someone saw him twinkling, they felt just a little bit of hope, just like Lily did. The end. So now let us sing hymn number 57, All Beautiful the March of Days. It is a familiar tune, but with seasonal lyrics. My reading is called Psalm for the Wintered Soul, and it was written by Cynthia Fredo. Cynthia was a Unitarian minister in the US, but grew up a Roman Catholic. Now, she died in 2021, and her obituary says, although she loved the ritual and pastoral nature of the Roman Catholic Church, she felt that there were too many inconsistencies between what she was supposed to believe and what she believed in her heart. She wanted to find a religious space where she could engage with the Creator in an uncensored dialogue. And in this search, she encountered the Unitarian Universalists, and she felt alive. Her new sense of grounding gave her a more balanced perspective, and she no longer felt bound by a particular creed or doctrine, but instead felt a possibility of ministry. Now, I feel a connection with her story, and perhaps you do too. And so I offer this reading as both a reading and a reflection. And it will be followed by a time of silence, after which Josh will accompany our thoughts and our dreams with some music. Psalm for a Wintered Soul. To the weaver of molecules, the spinner of stars, the impulse that gives birth to the universe, to the earth, and to me, in the deepest, darkest night of my wintered soul, I wrap myself in the blanket of my sadness and grief, of my pain and suffering, my doubts, my concerns, fears and questions, and look out from my wandering eyes towards the light that dares to penetrate the layers of blindness that surround me. So obscured is my vision because of the trials and tribulations of this life, that it is your fractal rays of possibility and hope that I seek to inspire me to emerge from this cocoon that holds me. Each luminescent ray of love and hope and possibility is that catalyst which I need to transform my thoughts and emotions into fuel for that inner life, for that inner fire, which will dispel the darkness of my night, which will help me to see more clearly the embers of love and hope and possibility that dwell within me. I long to be filled with renewed energy and strength to thrust new life into these wings of my rebirth. the fragile fragments of my life, the ingredients in the alchemist's hand, creating a new energetic substance to course through my veins. The womb of my becoming has been one of struggle and transformation. I was never meant to remain in this confinement of darkness. I was created to dwell in the infinite light. To the weaver of molecules, the spinner of stars, the impulse that gives birth to the universe, to the earth, to me, in the deepest, darkest night of my wintered soul, I shall look through the window of my expectant eyes toward the source of my being, waiting as I do for your alchemist's hand to create within me the change that is necessary for the season of my rebirth. I was never meant to remain in this confinement of darkness. I was created to dwell in the infinite light. Spring will come again, this I know, and I will be ready for my emergence and unfolding, that I might soar ever higher into my own becoming, into the light of my own transcendence, reawakened, renewed, reborn. Psalm for the wintered soul. What's next? adopt a dog or a cat, become a minister of religion, take up a course in something you've always wanted to do, tell someone you love them, get married, have a baby, plant roses, give up meat, give up the drink, give up, give up, give up. Keep a diary, lead a service, read at church, join the church. This new year brings endless possibilities and opportunities. But for me, I simply recommit myself to the vision, mission, and purpose of this Unitarian community. The psalm for the wintered soul which I read didn't inspire today's address, but it did provide me with a meaningful prayer as I begin a whole new journey in life and ministry. Whatever this year brings, it certainly will be different from the last one. My soul may be wintered right now, but soon the spring will bring warmth and new life, not just to the earth, but I pray also to our souls. Now, doubts, concerns, and fears, questions will all remain, but now I am older, hopefully wiser, and ever encouraged to look out from my wandering eyes toward a future of possibility and greater meaning. Now, tomorrow hasn't happened yet. We just have today. And that alone creates endless possibilities for what tomorrow could be, because we are not confined. We have the privilege of belonging to this community, of belonging to this time. And we will not be confined in our thoughts or our beliefs. We were not created to remain confined by ignorance or darkness, but to live in the light. Cynthia Fredo, in her writing, prayed that she would always be ready for my emergence and unfolding, that I might soar ever higher into the light of my own becoming, into the light of my own transcendence. And I believe that this is true at whatever stage of life you are at. She is echoing those Unitarian Transcendentalists who believed in the inherent dignity of every individual, the spiritual connection between humanity and nature, and the power of intuition and self-reliance over logic and societal norms. The Transcendentalists believed in the universal spirit that unites all things, urging people to trust their inner voice to discover divine truths, but also to live simple and non-conformist lives. And in the face of injustice, they believe that we are called upon to engage in some form of activism. When the Transcendentalists were at their peak in the late 1800s, slavery was still legal, and women did not enjoy the same rights as men. Unitarianism at the time was very rational, but the Transcendentalists wished to redress the balance and bring the movement into a deeper spiritual expression. Now, this might be arguable, but I don't think we have a firm Transcendental movement within Unitarianism today. But we certainly have their influence. Reason, conscience, and toleration remain our inheritance, but holiness and spirituality are firmly planted in our lives. So what's next? As I said, I was never a fan of New Year resolutions. I believe we should always resolve to do better and remain open to the new. During the autumn, a group of us gathered here on a weekly basis to consider a book written by Unitarian minister Stephen Lingwood. The book was called Seeking Paradise. And in it, Stephen set out his ideas about how we might come to understand our mission, our vision, our purpose. And he invited his readers to engage in a guided discussion on the future of our Unitarian inheritance. For me, the experience was nourishing, to say the least. Now, the premise of the book was inspired by a motion at an annual meeting of the General Assembly of Unitarian and Free Christian Churches a number of years ago. And it concerned growth, filling the pews, more new members, and reversing the decline in membership of the Unitarian movement in the UK. And Stephen Lingwood in his book asks, why? Why should we grow? What do we offer the world that is worthy of saving and worthy of growing? And so we are invited to consider our mission, our vision, our purpose. Now I think the group came to the conclusion that we here in Dublin are not just interested in increasing the numbers. And in my invitation to this reading group, I said, what does the future hold for this, our beloved Unitarian community? How will we nourish it, grow it, and hold it together and contribute to building the beloved community in the world? Because I believe our community has much to offer the contemporary spiritual seeker. It certainly did for me. And so a good number of us gathered here for 8 to 9 weeks to consider the questions Stephen posed to this Unitarian community. Many things struck me when people spoke. One person said that we seek to spread seeds of kindness. We are called to rewild the world with those seeds of kindness. The question asked that inspired that answer was, how do you imagine this Unitarian congregation acting as an outpost of paradise? Rewilding. Rewilding the world with seeds of kindness. And we might add, rewilding our souls with new spiritual ideas. Now, this presumes that we are an inherently spiritual species, but may have lost this innate sense of holiness due to our religious or secular education and indeed life experiences. But maybe we didn't lose it at all. We just didn't conform to what we were taught was the truth. Spirituality, after all, is a method of facing those ultimate questions, those questions about life and love, loss and despair. Are we ready to say to the world, come here and we will support your individual spiritual journey? Or better still, here is the spiritual discipline that this community offers. It's not easy, but we offer it genuinely and honestly. Everyone knows we do not have the answers to life's ultimate questions, but we work with those questions and we step up to them. Evangelism was another concept that came up during our reading of the book. Now, it wasn't something we embraced at all, for it brings up visions of street preachers warning us that our souls are damned to hell if we don't accept Jesus as our personal savior. It subjects us to theological terrorism. But Stephen offered a different, a new definition. He suggested that evangelism is the practice of giving the world something to see, to touch, and to try. I like to think of that as an invitation. Invite people to come through these doors. When I do that, am I evangelizing? And am I confident that they'll find here something meaningful? In the final chapter of the book, Stephen suggests that we embrace the Buddhist notion of being unattached to outcomes. He says the only way to grow the denomination is to be non-anxious and unattached to outcomes. The only way to grow the denomination is to have faith in something other than the denomination. I wonder, for me, is that the ideas that formed this Unitarian movement? The inherent goodness of humanity, the rejection of dogmas, creeds, and confessions of faith, and our refusal to accept the doctrines given to us by others as truth with a capital T. While we are here on earth, we have a responsibility to contribute to something bigger. But that great project of seeking paradise does not have to be completed by us. What is true of a person is true of a denomination. Contribute to the great work while you are alive. But don't worry, you're not the only one doing it, and it doesn't all rest on your shoulders. I believe there is an urgent need for spaces like ours, where people can come and express their joys and concerns as they wrestle with those ultimate questions that fill our hearts and our minds, our souls and our bodies. So what's next then? I suggest that we renew our membership of this congregation, of this community, not by filling in a form, but recommitting ourselves to the principles of this community: tolerance, conscience, freedom. And when we gather, may we share our wisdom and our questions about life's ultimate mysteries. And in doing so, we may grow wiser together. So let us be generous in our sharing, unafraid of judgment or disagreement. Let us be a witness in this city to a truly liberal and open spiritual life. We are people seeking truth, meaning, love, and for some, we seek a deep connection with the sacred, however you define it. Finally, this might be controversial, but I did try to construct a kind of mission statement. Now, I needed this, perhaps only for me, in order to understand what it is my ministry in the future might look like, might be, and whether that is here or elsewhere. Our mission is to provide open and inclusive spaces where people can discern the ultimate questions life poses to humanity. We do this through the provision of church services, through pastoral care, through special interest groups, children's programs, and rites of passage ceremonies, and more, a lot more that we have yet to discover. We are building a strong and united spiritual ecosystem that supports a person's freedom of conscience, freedom of expression, and freedom from imposed doctrines and confessions of faith. We seek to effect change in our society through various projects undertaken and led by members and in coalition with like-minded friends and organizations. Our greatest asset is not necessarily this beautiful building. It is you. It is this community, united in its diversity of belief and unbelief. So this is my prayer at this moment of my discernment about the future, and you are welcome to take some of it for you. As I seek to discern my path, may I follow the guidance of my heart. May I be open to unexpected truths. May our chalice flame remind me to welcome all the truth of my life, to welcome all who wish to enter into the beloved community of love and compassion. Amen. Now let us sing hymn number 144. Now is the time approaching, after which we will have the collection. Our notices. So thank you everyone who contributed to today's service. Please join us downstairs for tea and coffee. The book club is reading Lessons in Chemistry by Bonnie Garmus this month, and they're going to meet on the 28th of January in the vestry at 7:30 p.m. Pam continues to lead our weekly service of reflection here in the church every Wednesday at 1:05 p.m. And you can also access these sessions on our webcam. The Seeking Paradise Reading Group. Just a notice for those who are part of that. I wish to postpone our restart, and I will be in touch with you about that. We were to meet this Thursday. I wish to postpone that. I have a lot of work to do to complete my portfolio for the Unitarian College. So I will be in touch via email. The Unitarian Walkers return in 2026 with a stroll to Dunleary and the Killiney area on Saturday, the 17th of January, meeting at 10:30 a.m. in Dunleary Dart Station. Please talk to Marcus for further details or keep an eye on your email. And now Sherry has two announcements for us.
Thanks, Kevin. So two announcements. One is that, and I'm just getting my notes about this, one is that I'm offering something to the church starting in January. It's a new initiative for us, but it's something that's well established in Unitarian churches, in the Unitarian movement in the UK, and that's called Heart and Soul. The Heart and Soul. Heart and Soul is a contemplative, Unitarian, spiritual, small group gathering. And it's in which you can take time to reflect on your life in the company of others. The sessions follow a quite well-established regular structure with readings and music, time for guided prayers of gratitude and compassion for others, self-reflection, and silent meditation. And then each session closes with refreshments, conversation, and an opportunity to get to know each other at a deeper level. The formal session takes about an hour, a little longer sometimes depending on how many people are participating, and then tea and coffee. It will take place in person at the church one Monday evening per month from January to June, starting on the 19th of January, Monday the 19th of January at 7:30. I'm going to facilitate it, and just so you know, I'm not kind of doing this off the top of my head. I've been participating in Heart and Soul myself regularly for about the past 5 years. Through an online group, and I'm being given the materials and guidance in terms of how to run it for us. Just to say, this is not a course, so there's no requirement to attend, you know, over and over again. It's a drop-in thing, but do please book with me in advance, because I need to know we have enough numbers to run each session. Okay, so there's information in the e-newsletter and in Auscult about it in terms of how to contact me or come and ask me questions. Secondly, Josh, I wonder if you would mind coming up here for a minute, please. You're not in trouble. it came to our attention that this week marks the 20th anniversary of Josh arriving at the church as organist, and over time he then became music director for the church, 20 years of service that he has given to us. And in that time, he has done so many things that, in addition to the gorgeous music that he plays on the organ and on the piano, he's brought his special gifts as, we are really privileged to get his improvisatory skills, his improvisations regularly on a Sunday morning. But he's gone way beyond that. He's led the fundraising of 250,000 euro to restore our church organ, and it's really established the church as a venue for concerts. He has helped us with our website. He regularly now, he does the editing of the recordings that go up onto the website, and now he's taken on doing the e-newsletter and other things that go beyond all of that. So in honor of that, just to note, thank you.
One final announcement. Back to work. The choir returns next week at 10 a.m. And anyone interested in joining us, we've got a busy year ahead. So please do join us. So choir next week, 10 a.m. So our final hymn is 298, Wake Now My Senses. Now our closing words by Jean Rickard. As we extinguish this flame, may we carry its smoke with us into the streets, into the places where holiness is hard to see, but always waiting to be noticed. Let us go with eyes open for wonder in the worn out, with reverence for each passerby, and with the knowing that the sacred does not hide from the world, it lives in it. Let us go now, not to escape the brokenness, but to journey beside it, and sometimes to bless it. Amen.